Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. For your word is truth, and we know that the people in Galilee and Capernaum were impressed and amazed because you spoke as one having authority. You healed. You showed your power. And more importantly than that, you showed your love as a perfect reflection of the love of the Father. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you would impress upon our hearts and our minds the truth of your love so we may reflect it in all we say and in all we do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. But the greatest of these is love. I have to tell you that it is very difficult to explain in our culture the truth of the word that is defined here in English as love. The word that is interpreted or translated as love here is the Greek word agape. And we, in our culture, have dumbed down the word love so much so that if you go into an ice cream shop, and I won't name which one, you can get gotta have size, I like size, or I love size. I mean, we have taken the word love, and it's partly because of language, and we've used the word so flippantly that it's hard to explain what the Bible refers to as agape love. In Greek, there's several words that are used to define love, right? Do you know what some of them are? I'm going to refer to three today. The first one is eros, which is sexual. And for a lot of people, they misunderstand love as this, right? They define love as self-gratifying and a love that is sexual in nature. And that is a poor reflection of agape. And we can talk about that. That's another important lesson about what the meaning of eros love. Then you have philia love, which you get the title for the city Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. That idea of friendship, that love of friends. And then you have agape love. And it's very appropriate that St. Paul is asking the question, what motivates, because we talked about this at the beginning of Epiphany season, right? With the words of God himself as he spoke to his son as he came out of the river Jordan. What did he say? This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, right? The word love there, again, agape. This love that is sacrificial, this love that is selfless, this love is so much deeper and so much more amazing than the love that we experience when we say, I love you, man, or I'm in love. You see, it's so hard for us in society, in our modern culture, which is very narcissistic in so many different ways, where love is always what's in it for me. Have you noticed that? I love something if I get something from it. Am I wrong? How many of us go out and say, boy, I love it because it could kill me? No? I love it because it's going to be painful. I mean, we get put in hospitals if we say stuff like that, right? Really? I mean, to try to explain agape love in our culture today is so difficult that I believe, and this came up in the elders' meeting that we had last week, I believe that it's only going to be explained when it's lived out and when people experience it. That we cannot, with our words, with our intellect, explain agape love. That is why if the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be speaking with love, and this is why I put this word up here, love and, oh, yeah, there it is. It's in the blue here. I'm looking back there, I can't see, but over here, love and authority. Because the amazing thing about God's love, agape love, this selfless love, is that you can't take this love away from truth. They're tied together because all the things that St. Paul says love is not and what love is, he is telling us the attributes of God. He's telling us who God is and what the Father heart of God is like. And the reason why Jesus had so many people amazed was because he was speaking the truth to them and he was showing God's love to them, and it was having an impact because it only follows and makes sense that when he spoke the truth and shared God's love, that his healing and power would follow. Right? So what I'm asking of you is, are you really ready to experience agape love? Are you really ready to reflect the author? The reason I picked the word authority, because I thought it was kind of interesting that it shows up twice in our gospel lesson, and they talk about Jesus having authority. They're amazed because he speaks with authority. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says the same, telling the same story. It talks about how the people were amazed because he spoke with authority, not like their teachers of the law. And yet Jesus spoke the law, but he spoke the law motivated by love. And he showed the love of God. And, you know, if you really look at it, Jesus was not nice. I want to make this very clear because this is probably the biggest misconception out there. Just like the word love is misconceived. I mean, when you hear people talk about love today, are they talking about a sacrificial love? I tried to use the example of the ice cream place, but I think there's plenty of examples where love is only defined as something that benefits moi. I'll love somebody if they love me back. If I get something out of it, then it's love. I love it when I'm excited and it's an emotional response because it's somehow gratifying. But what I'm here to tell you, and this is not a pleasant message, this is why Jeremiah was terrified. And what did God have to say to Jeremiah when he called him today? He said, don't worry, I will rescue you or deliver you. He said it twice. Because you will be terrified, but don't be. You will be afraid, but don't be. Because when you tell people the truth, kind of like that movie, A Few Good Men, I think that he was somehow prophetic there. And he said, you can't handle the truth. That's kind of interesting. Because we really can't. And so we only want to hear what tickles our ears. That's what the Bible says, right? And I want to tickle your ears. I'm not masochistic. I do not like to be persecuted. I do not like to have nasty emails. I do not like it when people, you know, put me down and whip me. But I have to be honest with you. I tried everything to avoid speaking on 1 Corinthians 13 today. I prepared for Jeremiah. That's a great lesson, by the way. But then you know what? I got convicted because the Lord said, you're going to preach on the same thing you did last week. You're going to talk about appointed. You're going to talk about consecrated. You're going to spend all your time talking about that. But I want you to speak on 1 Corinthians today. I said, no! I don't want to! I don't love it! See, I got children. And the wonderful thing is about our culture is the children understand this. Because one of the first things they learn is if I want something, all I have to say is, I love it! And everybody goes, oh, that's so cute, here you go. You know? But the reality that we face is if we are going to be people who show forth love, who really help people experience this love, then it is going to be a love that is sacrificial. It is going to be a love that is selfless. It is going to be a love that reflects the author. Because the true meaning of authority is that you reflect or represent the author. That's the root word here, the author. And if we're as a church are going to help people experience the love, the full love of God, it is going to mean going outside of our comfort zone. It is going to mean being sacrificial. It is going to mean sharing the truth. Because what did St. Paul say about love? What did he say in 1 Corinthians 13? You know, it's so amazing to me because whenever a couple comes to me, and some of you have, and asks to get married, I present you with the New Testament lessons that you could use in your wedding. There's a few of you that are kind of blushing now because you know exactly how this conversation goes. I present the possibility of Ephesians chapter 5, right? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then I present to you a few others. Then I get to 1 Corinthians 13, and guess what? Everybody goes, oh, let's do 1 Corinthians 13. Because it's all about love. Right? Come on, a few of you have been there. Or you're going to be. Right? The reality is, we like 1 Corinthians 13, but you know what? The funny thing is, we don't like Ephesians because it talks about submission, and yet the funny thing is to me is that it's very similar definition. Because if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it's really the attributes and values of God reflected in us when we talk about love. And I think what a better definition of it than the husband should love the wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. I mean, isn't that the definition of agape love? Selfless love, sacrificial love? But let's look at the attributes. This is what St. Paul says. And the reason it shows up here is he's saying to us, we put value in the things that we like. And the Corinthian church liked the supernatural gifts, right? Remember, they had a hierarchy, they were proud, they liked to say, you know, I can speak in tongues, I can interpret tongues, I can prophesy, I can do all these things, and they had a value system that was based upon what was impressive and supernatural. And so Paul is trying to explain that if we're going to be that symphony that we're talking about, right, then we are going to understand that the gifts come from God, and they're to be used by God in order to impress upon people the reason he gave them. And the reason he gave the gifts, just like Jesus used the gifts of healing and of power, was to impress upon them the truth of who God was and his heart. And so it makes sense then that as St. Paul is explaining why these gifts have caused trouble within the church, here he plops this chapter in the middle of a very good exposition of why you shouldn't do what you're doing and how you should use the gifts that you've been given. He plops this thing right in the middle, 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about the most excellent way, which is the way of love. He's going to go on in chapter 14, we'll look at it next week, where he's going to talk about pursuing love and the spiritual gifts. Going to put all together. But he plops this in because he wants to ask the question, what's motivating you? And so, of course, he's going to use hyperbole, and he's going to explain that if you're seeking after these gifts for the wrong reason, if you're seeking after these gifts because of pride, if you're seeking after these gifts because you want to be exalted or looked up to, then I'm going to tell you, these gifts really aren't of much consequence. He says, I could speak in tongues of men and of angels, but if I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Nix, nothing. He doesn't say that we shouldn't desire these gifts, right? This is where so many people go off track because they immediately jump to this and say, see, he doesn't want us to have tongues. He doesn't want us to have prophecy. He doesn't want us to have knowledge. He took it out of context. He's using hyperbole here. He's comparing the fact that if you desire these things for the wrong reason, if your motivation is wrong, then it really leads to nothing. Because if your motivation is just to be exalted or to be proud or to say, look at me, ain't I great? I can speak in tongues. I can prophesy. I have knowledge. I have faith that can move mountains. Just don't move Whistler, for the Olympics are coming. He is comparing, and he ultimately gets to this, and this is what is so important. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And this is what I want to pay attention to. And this is what I ask you to do. If you want to understand agape love, then understand what love is in comparison to the author. What does it mean to speak and to live love, agape love, but to compare that love to the Father, to the Father's love? A love that loved us even before we knew. A love that so loved us that he was willing to send his Son into the world to die for us. A love that the world will never understand. A love that is so sacrificial. And this is what he says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And this is what's so important, and this is reflected in what Jesus experienced. It's also reflected in what God said to Jeremiah. He said, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You see, the love that we seek and the love that we are called to share is a love that is so much more than the love that people expect. Because the love that people expect is what the media and our culture has defined as love. And it is so shallow in comparison to the love that is God, that reflects the Father heart of God, the love and the passion that is talked about here in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, will we struggle with this as a people, as a church? Will we struggle to do this on this side of heaven? Yeah. Because we have a sinful nature, and for that reason, we are going to struggle with this. But should we not desire and pursue this? I'll give you a hint. You can cheat and look at chapter 14, verse 1, if you have any questions. Because what God is saying to us is he's saying, I want you, my people, to not only speak, but to live this love. And that is the only way that the people for whom I have died will understand love. It is the only way. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I were God, I would have figured out a better way. If I were God and I had control of everything, I would have put up big screens 24/7 going, I am God, believe in me. You know? I mean, there's got to be a better way. Yet the reason that God doesn't do that is because there can never replace all the technology, all the speaking, all the talking, all the words can never replace the simple truth of someone who loves because they understand the depth of the word love. Agape. Selfless. God-fearing. God-powered love. And if you're up to the challenge, God wants to give this gift. And I believe it is a gift because it is not something we can generate on our own. He desperately wants us to be filled with this love so that we can go out and show it and live it with others. Satan don't want it. He would love churches to think that love is just like the world thinks of love. You know, how many of you have heard this? God loves everyone. So how can he send anyone to hell? Any of you heard this before? It's like, well, God likes you. Be happy. It is so misunderstood. Because love with authority is love defined by truth. And the truth of love is that God allows us, his children, to walk away from him. He allows us, he loves us enough to let us make bad choices. He loves us enough to allow us even to go to hell. That's how much he loves us, but he provided a way of rescue, did he not? He provides us a way of deliverance. He provides us a way of hope. His son, who died on the cross. And for that reason, we can have forgiveness and everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, let others view eternity by showing his amazing love. My heart and my mind and my life is devoted to the desire for people to be amazed by cross and resurrection. Because they go, wow. Wow. They really love. They really love. So I was excited to learn a new word for love today. That was really cool. I don't know if I can remember it. But we are called to love. And it's so much more than just like. And it's so much more than, I love you, man. It's so much deeper. And it's so much more amazing. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. So that the world may know the heart of our God and the love he has for each one of us. Amen. Let us stand as we now confess our